When Anthony came to the door of the church 2 weeks ago, it was hard to know exactly what he wanted. He buzzed the buzzer. He was greeted by the office staff. They couldn't make head nor tails of what he was saying, so they did what they thought best, which was, "Craig, can you come here? Can you deal with this?" And of course, with all of my education and learning and dealing with persons at the door who aren't making sense, of course. I don't like talking to people through intercom systems and closed doors. So I walked down the stairs and opened the door and invited Anthony in. I did not know until later when I returned to the office that the office staff had been concerned about my safety and so had been monitoring the ongoings for as long as I stood there with Anthony in case they needed to call for backup help. I recognized Anthony. He had not been here very often before, but I recognized him from Sunday breakfast. And it was difficult making sense of what Anthony wanted. Anthony knew that he had mental health issues, but Anthony also knew he had spiritual concerns. Sometimes those are close together, but they are not identical. And he had come here hoping to find some help for the spiritual torment he was experiencing. Anthony was convinced that voices were speaking to him, one voice in particular, the voice of Jesus. And Anthony could not believe that Jesus was telling him what he heard again and again and again. I was grateful at that moment that Anthony, for as troubled as he was not in the condition of the man that Jesus encountered that day in the territory of the Gerasenes, who was far more troubled, far more impossible to relate to and deal with. But I stood there praying inwardly, wondering what it was that I had to give to Anthony, what I might be able to say, how I might embody Christ for him at that moment and offer him a word of healing and help and hope that might send him on his way with an increased sense of God's peace and God's presence. I confess to you that I failed. In the end, Anthony left just as distraught as he had been when he had arrived, just as unpredictable of the words coming out of his mouth or the actions of his body, and I have not seen him since then. It was an important reminder for me that when we talk about connecting with our neighbors, it's not always as easy as it sounds. It's hard enough for people to connect with me. And most days, I'm mostly in possession of most of my mind and faculties. At least, I think so. Recently, our outreach team met for their monthly meeting, and as that group of folks gathered around the table, the people who really have taken the lead for all of us in our outreach to our neighbors, that group of folks said, "But we don't really know how to connect with some of our neighbors. It's hard for us to do that." And as a result of that, Lindsey Graves has planned a workshop for this afternoon, right after worship, helping us learn a little bit more about how to connect with our neighbors, how to connect with persons we may not know well, how to connect with persons who are different from us, how to connect with persons who may have some life issues and life struggles that push people away from them. And she and others have planned a series of reflections and conversations and workshops. And if you have not signed up yet, let me guarantee you that there is enough food and enough space for you to come and be a part of that conversation this afternoon. We'll get you out of here by 2 o'clock so you can still enjoy the abysmal heat of the afternoon, the rest of the day. And we'll be downstairs in the coolest part of the building, so we'll get a treat out of all that. It's also the reason why our sustainability study group that has been meeting since January, I believe, maybe early February, and is now getting ready to release their study report and their recommendations. It will be going viral by the end of the week, I'm confident. It really is a great report. I want to thank our lay leader, Beth, for leading us through that process. I want to thank a couple of other persons, some young adults who dropped in on us this year and aren't just going to skitter out of town at the end of their year with us, but are leaving behind a treasure for us. Lindsey Graves and Matt Gress had huge amounts to do with putting all of the conversations and notes and discussions of that study team together into a report that you will want to take a look at. But in that report, now I have to turn to page 5. Lindsey tells me that the first pages are the boring part. They happen to be the part I wrote. But she tells me people will want to jump right ahead in. So I'm going to read a section from page 5. And so the study document reflects back on the experience with these words. Through our discussions, we discovered a common theme that University Church's human resources are its most precious resources, and that they, in turn, are ultimately sustained by relationships. Our focus then shifted to considering how the church could best cultivate relationships that would bring life and transformation to folks inside and outside the walls of this church. Sustainability begins with acknowledging the resources the entire community already brings with them into our life together, and then tapping into those resources for a multi-directional flow of sharing life and love. We hope to see our current outreach ministries incrementally transformed into spaces for the cultivation of deep, life-giving relationships, extending our habit of caring for those we already know or who already belong, which would transform those activities from programs that consume resources into programs that, with enough flexibility and creativity, also produce resources of all kinds. It would have been easy for Jesus that day to do what I so often do, which is simply to take a quick glance at people and immediately pigeonhole them and say, I've got them all figured out. I know exactly what their issues and problems and needs are. I know what I can do and can't do for them. The man was troubled, tormented, naked, homeless, poor, outcast. Jesus saw all that. And what did Jesus do? He asked a very simple question. What's your name? The beginning of true relationships begin when we take time to learn somebody else's name, and not just the letters of the alphabet that produce the sound of their name, first and last, and maybe middle, but the story of their life. And if we're going to talk about building meaningful, sustainable relationships, we need to do what Jesus did, which is to quit stereotyping people and to start sitting down and asking, who are you? What's your name? What's your story? Let me tell you my name. Let me tell you my story. For those of you who've been here for a while, you know each other's names and you know much of each other's stories, but that's not true for everyone in this room and everyone in this church. We have to keep doing it again and again and again. Jesus cared enough to stop and ask, who are you? What can you tell me about yourself? And then we'll see what we can do to keep you from feeling isolated, outcast, separated, to free you from all those things that weigh you down and isolate you from other human beings, to restore you to fullness of mind and relationships and your place in the community of humanity, your place in the family, in the town, in the neighborhood. Some of us have experienced over the past year or two what's called a poverty simulation. It's an hour-long experience of what it's like to walk in somebody else's shoes and to get some sense of what it is that they may be bringing with them when they come to us. Well, we don't have that amount of time this morning. However, in your groups of three, I'd like to invite you into what can be about a 10-minute experience of some of the difficulty of making choices to try to keep life as normal as possible. I'm going to ask the ushers to come and help me. We have, in the groups of three, we have worksheets. One worksheet per group of three. Thank you. And for money this morning, because this is an exercise in making financial decisions, for money this morning you have Smarty Candies. A stack per team. 15 Smarties equals 15 coins, $15, $15,000, $15 million, whatever it takes. Here are your Smarties. I'm going to make sure each team has a set of Smarties, because you're going to start expending them very quickly here. You've got extra people, Annika, so I'm going to give you several sets there that you can even take a couple of home, all right? Let's see here. There's a team. You're working with this group in front of you? All right. Happy to give you some money. Don't say I never gave you anything. Philip, welcome. Have some money. Good morning. Let's see here, you need your cash over here, yes. Here you go, I'll let you share with this is group here, a group here, and you're working with Robert behind you, all right. Here you go, Lee. Jim, you're working with the guys behind you? All right. Coming over here, there you go. Joyce? Okay. Here you go. Oh, look at Gwen reaches out for the candy. Look at that. Are you going to work with a team down here, or are you just going to rock? You're just sitting and rocking. Okay. Here you go, Russ.
Sure.
Beth? Have I missed a team anywhere along the way? There you go. Looks like your team could use some extra money too. Here, I'll let you share. But you only get to spend one of them. All right. Did all the teams? Did we miss some? Oh, upstairs. Oh, this will be good. You going to carry it up or you want me to toss it up?
You can toss it.
I can toss it up. The question is, can anybody catch up there? Are you ready? One, two, three. All right. We'll try again. I'll throw it a little higher. Children, don't do this. We're all told not to. Oh, look at that. Off the wall. Go ahead.
You have one more time.
Oh, boo. We'll let Russ throw it up there. Here you go, Russ.
Where's he at?
It's up there. It's up there. All right. You will, on your worksheet, please quickly start making some choices about how you will spend your available dollars. You have 15 Smarties to spend. You'll see the catalog of available options for you. What you want to do for housing, what you want to do for health care, how much food you want to have, what you want to do about transportation, technology access, laundry, shopping, and spending money. I'm going to give you 5 minutes quickly to get that decision, those decisions made. All right, you've got 5 minutes to get all the decisions made. Now I want to say something to the folks here in the center, the teams here in the middle. I need your attention. Teams in the middle, right here. Matt and Shirley, Peter. The teams here in the middle, half of all marriages in this country end in divorce. Your teams have now divorced, which means you have to separate the Smarties. You no longer have 15. One half has 7, the other half has 8. You have to make allotment for who will be in charge of the children. So this section is all set then now. You have a reduced amount of Smarties. You have to make your decisions separately now. To the groups over here on this side, one of the major issues in homes today is health and health care and health insurance. You are having a health crisis. You folks have just lost 3 Smarties. All the teams here, you have been reduced from 15 to 12 Smarties.
Because we have
had a health crisis. A health crisis. So you're now down, everybody on this side of the room. Rita, did you get that? The health crisis? I'm not sure there. Now you're down to 12 because of the health crisis. All right, Connie, you can help them get through with just 12. Three more minutes. Two more minutes.
Now,
One more minute.
You want the paper? I'll get you one. You just get one of these pieces. Thank you.
The group down front here used the word desperate. I see some anguished people who are still working this out. All right, I'm going to call us back together again. Because the truth is, we could do this all afternoon and would probably be in no better shape than we are at the moment. Correct, Ellen? This is meant to remind us. All right, people, I'm up here. I'm trying to call the class back together again. It'll be a while, Rita, before I try something like this again. I did not give you enough time, and you know what? 30 days in a month is not enough time. Peter, correct? Social worker? It's forced choices. We needed more instructions. I would advise you to go on Amazon.com, the home guide to being poor. There really is no such book. Most of us know that we have to learn by the seat of the pants. Jesus took time to ask the struggling person in front of him, "Who are you?" And his goal was not simply to listen to him, but to get to know him well enough to free him of that which held him in bondage, that which kept him from the fullness of life that God intends. What we have been reminded through the sustainability study of is that when folks come knocking on this door, they may present themselves to us as having serious material needs, and that is often the case. However, we can never forget that they are children of God like ourselves, and that it is the spirit of who they are that needs our attention, our care, our love, as much as anything we do for their clothing and feeding and material well-being. Because ultimately, it's not simply about serving others. It's about being the body of Christ together and recognizing that everyone in that circle has things to give and needs to be met. And as we become more fully that community of faith, then our witness and our faithfulness will deepen and impact all of us, regardless of how many smarties you have or don't have.